Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
False start, John Granato. Five-yard penalty, still second down. Joining us at the Omar Ruiz is joining us at the bottom of the hour. He's your guy. Anchor and analyst for NFL Network. Do you ever work with Omar?
We talked. I think I have done something on air with him. I think he was hosting when I did the mid-afternoon show.
You did.
So, yeah, I think so. He's a good dude. I like Omar.
So we'll talk to him about some stuff. Sure, certainly our Texan situation here and what is thought of it, what is thought of nationally. Let's talk about John Wall. John Wall had some comments. Specifically, let's talk about accountability. And apparently, there isn't any. And it is recognizable, and it was recognized by John Wall while he was here. Here's what he had to say about the young pups and their accountability.
Me, I was just being a professional.
Yeah.
Like, I always wanted to teach them, like, don't get used to this shit. It's not how the NBA is.
Right.
Like, it's just a bad organization right now. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to fix some shit around, but... Like, I always talked to Jalen Green, Kevin Porter, KJ. I'm like, yo, don't get adjusted to this losing shit. It's not how the league is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had to tell them, like, this shit y'all getting away with over here, if you go to any other teams, you'd be out of the league.
You'd be
like, you wouldn't play.
You're not playing.
I wouldn't play.
No, facts.
So I'm trying to explain that to them because they think it's sweet. And I'm like, if you ever get traded and go somewhere else, you're going to be like, this motherfucker was right.
Listen, John Wall made himself out to be a heavenly angel. He was angel-like. John Wall was just right about everything. John Wall.
He was just there trying to be a good teammate.
He was good, that's all he cared about, being a good teammate.
But it's okay to think it could be both.
It could,
like,
no.
John Wall may be sugarcoating some of his, you know, willingness to do this or willingness to do that, but he could also be right about what he experienced and witnessed.
I think he's 100% right. I think he's 100% right, and I think that's why Steven Silas has to go. And I'm shocked. I'm shocked that the organization is still letting Steven Silas run it into the ground. And maybe it's because they want to be run into the ground. The worst record in the NBA. They have a four-game lead over. Listen, you're trying to finish with one of the three worst records in the league. It doesn't have to be last. You don't have to be the worst. You just have to be one of the three worst, and you have the same number of lottery balls. So you do want to finish in that bottom three right now. And I didn't believe this, but I believe it now. Since there is such inactivity with this coaching staff, that nothing has changed over these last, what is the losing streak, 11 or 12 now, whatever it is, 16 or 17, whatever the number is right now, that nothing has happened, that there is no accountability, that it continues to, they continue to make the same mistakes over and over again, that they just want to lose. That's the only way that you can explain this, is that it's all okay. Because Tillman Fertitta doesn't run any of his other businesses like this. If any of his other businesses, listen, if you ran a hotel like this, if you had a hotel that was as run as poorly as and executed as poorly as this team executes, you would be out of business. You would not have any customers.
You know who we need to get on is Roosh Williams. Because Roosh has his own theory about why this is going on. And it was interesting because all I can think of was, I know that Tillman is not okay with any of this.
No, he's
not. I
know
Tillman, you know, I know from talking to you, Tillman doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to tank. He wants his team to be better. So I know all that. And yet, Steven Silas is still there. And, you know, it's less a comment about Steven Silas and more a comment about allowing this to the same thing to continue to happen without making a change.
Yeah.
Because it's been, and you can say, hey, Steven, it's not fair for Steven Silas, this, that, or the other, but this is pretty standard in sports. When a team is really bad for 3 years, you make a change.
Yep.
In some cases, you make a change after 1 year. A lot of cases, now you're making a change at 2 year. By the midpoint of season three, where it's still the same and there's no growth for young players, really, or there's not sustained growth. I mean, we've seen flashes. Then the coach is gone, right? So what is it? Roosh believes that he said, as long as Steven Silas is in place, then he has to take the bullets for KPJ being the point guard and the lack of this and the lack of that. And, you know, and while you're on your way towards a high lottery pick and, you know, a lot of ping pong balls, Steven Silas will continue to be the guy who's the human shield. And, you know, I think his comment was about Rafael Stone. I don't know who else it could be about. But basically he's saying Steven Silas is the human shield along the way who has to take the bullets on all the personnel stuff, all the rotational stuff, all the accountability issues, and let's just roll him out there and let him keep. And secondarily, I guess, he's not saying this, but I'm just thinking out loud, you know, the players, like I said, I don't know that any change in the middle of the year has any impact on the team, really. Like that they start immediately, like, you know what, now we're going to get down to business. Maybe it would. I don't know if the players would respond. Do you? I can't say that for sure, that these young players would all of a sudden respond to John Lucas on a daily basis.
What about Atlanta last year? Atlanta just took off when they changed coaches.
Yeah, but Atlanta had, I mean, Trey.
I'm not even talking about that. I don't think that they're all of a sudden going to become.
Atlanta was underperforming.
Yes. This team's
they're underperforming now, too.
The Rockets are underperforming. And not only that, but they're not learning and they're not building a culture here. Listen, a human shield. How about this? If actually another let's say that John Lucas took over and John Lucas actually instilled some discipline, actually had better rotations, actually made guys come and sit down if you're going to continue to play like this and you're not going to play. If John Lucas actually made them accountable and for their poor play, for their turnovers, for their inability to shoot, like take a guy out of the game. If he continues to just fire up three-pointers instead of driving to the basket and trying to get to the line because when he's not shooting well, then get him out of the game. But they're not doing any of those things. And if John Lucas does that, and they actually start to win a couple of games here and there, you don't need a human shield anymore. Because you know what? We're starting to grow. We're starting to look pretty good. Your picks are actually okay.
Right. I like being stripped down and vulnerable for an organization because it's honest. Like, I like honesty. I like when you... It's one of the reasons I rock with Ballard is because, man, this dude is like honest, not to a fault, but it's like he expects the same thing from himself. Like he's talking to Aaron Glenn told me this. Aaron Glenn's like, I had a 5-hour interview with the Colts on Zoom, and Ballard just wanted to talk my philosophy, how I deal with people, how I deal, you know, how I like to do things, what I believe in. He didn't care about me. He didn't want me to try to give the right answers on interviews. And that's what, like, I want everyone to be on the same page of my teams. Like, I want you to be vulnerable to the point that you're honest, you're transparent. I don't want the word salad stuff from Nick Caserio. If you get asked a question, answer the damn question. It's not too complicated, these questions that are being asked of you. I want the Rockets to be on the same page from the head coach to the, you know, I don't like when I hear things like John Wall saying that Steven Silas said, I don't have control, like, they want me to play, can you come off the bench? Because they want me to play Kevin Porter Jr. I'm fine if that's, like, I don't have a problem with that. You didn't either.
No.
Let the young guys play. But that needs to be, like, maybe Steven Silas just needs to say, that's
what I'm doing.
And that's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing.
So I'm going to take that. And so maybe that is a Steven Silas thing where, like, hey, we're all on board. Even if you don't agree with it, you have to kind of be on board with it. You know,
this is what we're doing. We got to play the young guys.
Once again, I'm not trying to place blame on this guy or this guy, but what I'm saying is it's not cohesive.
No, it's not.
It's not cohesive.
No. Well, look at them. They're not cohesive. 9:15 ESPN.
Twitter's mad at us.
Oh, what do we do?
JJ
now?
Says, great. The show finally gets interesting with feet and bow and arrow talk, and now John pivots to Aggies, shaking my head.
Oh, yeah. 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on this or anything else? You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776.
Talk about feet if y'all want to.
Well, I want you to talk right now about your siding and windows.
Yeah, that's That's more specific to a house. But I can tell you this. So Allstate Windows and Siding, did you know that if you say, you tell me, oh, no, we got windows 6 years ago and they were really, really cheap. That's great. I'm just going to warn you right now that there's a pretty good chance that if they were cheap, they're not built very well, and you could end up having some of the same window leakage issues that you had before when you had single-pane windows. Just because you have a double-pane window that's not built well doesn't mean you're going to get the protection that you deserve or even the lower energy bills. And with Allstate Windows, what you're going to get is a company who has windows that are built right here in Texas, specifically for Texas weather, which is a very volatile weather patterns. You know how we do it here in Houston especially, but they're built to withstand and sustain that. They are designed, their installers have a very specific process where they take the glass out with no breakage. They do the installs relative to their measurements so that you get very specific measurements and installed, windows so that you don't have the leakage even if you've had some movement in your home due to the clay underneath your foundation. And they can save you up to 40% on your energy bills. Allstate Windows and Siding do an amazing job. And yes, they do great siding work as well. But right now, they want to offer you deep discounts on windows. So they're going to give you a big discount on every window you buy with a minimum of 10 window purchase. If you want to find out more about it, make sure that you get to AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. You can go to the website and find out, or you can give them a call at 832-204-1936.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
She's one of my all-time favorites. I saw you were looking at Twitch. You already saw the love for Jhené Aiko. I knew that's what it was. She's not your kind, John. She's not your type. She's slim. She's slim.
What are you talking?
She didn't have, like, she's cute. She's sexy.
Who is it?
This is Jhené Aiko. Jhené Aiko.
She's skinny?
You'll think so. I think she's very fit. She's a good-looking woman. But she doesn't have, like, she's not carrying around a giant trunk in the back of her pants.
Yeah. Sorry. Not my style.
She doesn't have your old school Vita Guerra flair.
No.
She's more like that's her body type. She's a slender. She's got a great voice.
We ain't going about that.
She is.
We ain't about
now,
that life.
Let me tell you what she sings a lot about. Smoking weed and doing stuff.
Yeah.
That's in a lot of her stuff. Yeah. She likes to do things. Who is the rapper that she is most notoriously linked to?
Notorious, B.I.G.
No.
Okay.
She would have probably, let's see, Biggie died mid-90s. She probably would have been about 4 or 5 when Biggie died. Unless that's Biggie's daughter.
But you're eliminating it.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and eliminate it. No, yeah. Big Sean.
Big Sean?
So if that comes up, if you're ever on Jeopardy and somebody says, this rapper is most commonly linked with singer Jhené Aiko, and you can say, who is Big Sean? That's right. All right. Rap beefs for $400, and then you can do rap beefs.
Who's Big Sean got a rap? Who's he got beef with?
Big Sean. He has had some beef. He's from Detroit. I don't know. Who has Big Sean had rap beef with?
I don't want to say Kendrick, but there were two songs in particular where he did get in his feelings because Kendrick clearly had a better verse, and he was like, well, if I didn't call Kendrick to put him on the song, you wouldn't even have heard the verse. And it's like, calm down.
Don't put Kendrick on your verses. Just don't do it. It used to be a rule you didn't put Eminem on your stuff because you would look, because he'd make you look bad. You know, rappers sometimes, John, will pay other rappers to put a verse on there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's a respect thing and they do it back and forth. And then sometimes guys coming up will pay a more well-known guy to do it.
Uh-huh.
Like Bun has been on verses for people. I'm sure he's been paid on some of those. I mean, it's work. I mean, you should be paid, right?
Yeah, if they're it's your guys idea. Are, it's yeah, your.
If they're selling, you know, if they're selling albums, yeah, no, you yeah. should be paid.
Yeah,
you should be paid. It's just you don't want them. Like you don't want the lead comedian doesn't want the stand up act blowing them out of the water.
No.
You know, so you don't want somebody on your verse, on your album, blowing you out of the water on their verse.
Right. That's why Barry Laminack can't find work.
Because he's
better than the headliner.
Do you know this for a fact?
Yeah, no. People have told me that.
Barry's really funny.
He is funny. Yeah. He is funny.
Barry's been funny for a long time.
Well, Barry is funny because that's his handle on Twitter.
He's also Barry is funny.
Barry is funny. Yeah.
Barry on deck.
Yeah. No. Barry is... Barry's good, and actually, it is. I've heard people say, "Man, dude, killed it," and I got to go out after him. And that's.
Oh, her and Big Sean are together. Yeah, they're together right now.
What do you mean they're together right now?
Well, they've just had. Well, I mean, I guess they had a baby.
I think they're
together.
Married.
Are they married? Okay. Well, they had some verses that were not, you know, where she was upset with him about stuff, and he was like, he knows he screwed up and things like that.
I think that's always sometimes kind of been there. I think that's always kind of been their niche when it comes to music, but I think she was engaged, and then, like, Big Sean came in at the 11th hour and just swooped her up.
No.
She's going to need to stop.
Well, sometimes a man makes a mistake, too.
But having this baby, I hope she stops smoking drugs.
Well.
I hope she stops smoking drugs or cigaretting, as my daughter once said. When she saw a cigarette butt, a friend of ours came over, smoked on a patio, and my daughter saw this cigarette butt in a plant holder that had nothing in it. She's like, who is cigaretting out here? I think she was six. And I'm like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, no.
Mom's friend.
Frankie had a major. I mean, Mr. Yanni, you're going to die. Your lungs are all charcoal now, Mr. Yanni. Will you please quit smoking, Mr. Yanni?
Oh, my God. Huh? You're going to die, Mr. Yanni. Yep. I mean, Mr. Yanni, whoa. Mr. Yanni should have said, we're all going to, Frankie. I'm just trying to get off right now. I'm trying to get mine. I'm trying to get mines with nicotine. He should have been dipping that your stuff, John. It's the CBD stuff. So what he should have been doing instead of the nicotine.
Actually, he should be doing that, and you all should be doing that right now. Omar Ruiz joining us when we come back.
Don't tell me that's what you're talking about right here.
It's exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm so good. I'm so good I didn't even know it. That's called instincts. That's called radio instincts.
Listen, if you are trying to get out of your tobacco, you want to die, okay? If you chew tobacco, you could die, okay? Maybe I'm overstating it just a hair, but here's the deal, is you can get sick. People have gotten sick. People have gotten, it's ugly. What could happen to your jaw? What can happen to your lip? All of that stuff when you're chewing tobacco. How about no tobacco? How about tobacco-free? How about nicotine-free? How about hemp in a pouch made of hemp? DoBlend and Canstead. And now, I mean, we've done so well here in Texas. You people that are listening here, and we've got a Texas brand, okay? You can get whatever you want. You can get tobacco flavor. You can get traditional flavor. You can get citrus. You can get berry, ice mint. You can get citrus, dark-fired, wintergreen, whatever it is that you want. There's all kinds of. When you go to 975dip.com, you're going to see all the different types that you can get. Try it. Maybe you can wean yourself off of the nicotine. You can wean yourself off of that tobacco, hemp in a pouch with hemp, and you swallow because it's got CBD in it. So this is what you want to do. Go to 975dip.com. Get out of that tobacco. Stop killing yourself. 975dip.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back. Omar Ruiz, anchor and analyst for the NFL Network, joining us now at Omar D. Ruiz on Twitter. Omar, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fired up. Ready for this weekend. Happy about last weekend. And And it's that time of year where every day looking forward to some great football.
Just great stuff. Let's start, though, with coaching searches. Where would you, since we're in the middle of it, that's what we think about. We don't think about playoffs here. We haven't thought about that in a while. So where do you rank the Texans' job? Arizona, Denver, Indianapolis, Carolina, and Houston all need head coaches. Where do you rank this job amongst the five?
I'd probably say, at this point, number two. I think Arizona might be the top job at this point, just because you have that quarterback that if you can get him right, I think you're a lot closer to success than maybe any of the others. But I think Houston, I was one of those rare people a couple of years ago when Caserio first got there and they made those, 45 different transactions to reset the roster, that they were heading in the right direction. And obviously the last couple of years played out and, we haven't seen the wins show up. But I still think the trajectory is good in Houston. You pair that with the two first-round draft picks and, just, again, get the quarterback right. And they're not as far away, and like Sean Payton said the other day, in that division, you can make quick ground, make up quick ground pretty good in that division. So, I say Houston's right there up there with Arizona.
Omar, when it comes to coaching searches, it's going to be interesting because I think that, Ben Johnson said he's staying at Detroit, which is he doesn't have to go anywhere. I think the idea that young coaches have to jump in and take the first job offered, that's not necessarily the case if it's not a good job. But it will be interesting to see the balance of the hot young names, quote unquote, versus guys like Frank Reich, Sean Payton, guys who have coaching experience, who have had some success. Those guys, a lot of times, typically aren't as exciting to fan bases, but they also have a history of understanding how to win. I'm kind of curious to see how some of these guys with experience, where they end up this year.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think the trend has been in the last several years to get the young hot name. And I think if somebody like Sean Payton comes, I think that excites a fan base. But Frank Reich, obviously, they every conversation goes back to the quarterback. They couldn't get the quarterback right in Indy. But, given everything else around that team, they were in the playoffs, regularly. Obviously not the last couple of years, but, he did find some success despite that carousel at quarterback there. And I think Frank Reich would have success in his next job. Perhaps not excitable, but there's no guarantee that the young guys would have success either. But the coordinators, they make a lot of money nowadays. And with Ben Johnson and all that signs of success in the future, I don't blame him from setting up himself another year and become even more high profile in the coaching search for 2024. And we might see that, given the trends the last couple of years, it just takes a couple coaching cycles to change those trends. We might be seeing that right now.
Omar Ruiz, anchor and analyst, NFL Network, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Does Mike McCarthy have to win again this week?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he needed to win last week, because I think the whole thing with the Jason Garrett era was, they were pretty good for the most part, but never had a deep run. And obviously that's been well documented, not having made a conference championship in 11 consecutive postseason appearances and all that. But I think he needed to win last week the way he won convincingly. I think kind of put to bed any sort of job speculation. I don't think he has to win. Now, given Jerry Jones' track record and how he is dying for a Super Bowl, I think if they get embarrassed, that might open up the door. But I think it's shut for now on his job status, the way he's been able to have back-to-back seasons. And going back to that Garrett conversation, not making deep playoff runs. They never really put two good seasons together back-to-back, and I think that was problematic as well. And the fact that they've had 2 years in a row, 12 wins, and the train seems to be going in the right direction in the foreseeable future, I think Mike is safe.
Yeah, you think so? And then, McVay put everything to rest. I tell you, two things that aren't making a lot of sense to me, and one is college, but second year in a row that Jim Harbaugh has flirted with the NFL, which, if you don't want to be at Michigan, don't be there. And then McVay, this has been the whole year that we've heard kind of Aaron Donald wasn't sure if he wanted to keep playing, and Matt Stafford, there was buzz about him. There's been a lot of buzz about Sean McVay. I wonder if Sean McVay's burning out a little bit. What's going on over there with Sean McVay, where he's got in his 30s, he's already talking to, there's already speculation about if he wants to continue to coach.
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think he does burn the the candle at both ends, you know, that, that he has all that energy, but kind of, you know, hard to go 6 years in a row, you know, 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day with the stakes and the pressure that he had, you know, trying to make the Rams relevant in Los Angeles as, you know, he came in their second year here after, you know, they'd been bad for so long. And he finds that quick success, and Stafford kind of takes him over the top. But they're cruising right along the top of the NFL for several years now. Obviously lost the Super Bowl a few years ago with Jared Goff, and then they climbed the mountaintop. And now you look at, you know, the core of the team injured this year, the lack of draft picks, you know, early draft picks, first-rounders for the foreseeable future. And you kind of look at where they are now and looking up at the mountaintop, how far they were, knowing how hard it was anyway when they were closer to the top, how hard it was to climb it. And I think that's sort of a daunting task to look at, but I think he reevaluated, figures, okay, this might be a fun challenge, something he hadn't done before, and try to go after it. But I think it will be a recurring theme, unless he changes his style, which I don't see him doing, and sort of delegate a lot more. But I think he is just too much involved with the way he operates as a head coach to kind of let that go. And I think we'll be kind of revisiting this, you know, will he or won't he, until he probably does eventually walk away and do TV. Now, whether that's for good, you know, obviously that would remain to be seen. But I think it's something we'll see regularly from this point forward.
Omar Ruiz, NFL Network, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good thing we got another quote from Aaron Rodgers, because we just don't get enough of those. he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. And I really don't blame him, not at this point in his career. But is Green Bay in a rebuild right now?
Well, I would hope that if the rebuild started this year, that, you know, that was a good sign, and sort of, you know, that losing season, they've got it behind them, and now it's a matter of just building on top of that. But if they're still in the teardown mode, or maybe this was, you know, still the end of what they thought was the championship window, and now they're starting the rebuild, you know, then, yeah, I wouldn't blame him. But I think, you know, you would, you know, have to get the insight of Gutekunst to determine, okay, what this year was. And you, obviously we never get, you know, that clear answer, but it did seem, you know, with letting Devontae walk, that they did kind of start the rebuild. And if they can build on that, then I can see Aaron sticking around for that and let those young receivers develop now in year two. And obviously that defense, the draft pick they got last year from there, and then, of course, whatever they can get this year. But if they're still going to sort of, you know, maybe not pay as much money for free agents, and, you know, which they typically don't, but if that's going to remain the case, and they're hoping that those guys make the leap from year one to year two, and that's it, then I wouldn't blame Rodgers for wanting to walk away from that situation, certainly.
No, and what about, you know, I think two guys that are really intriguing to me in terms of their standing right now on their teams, Jordan Love and Trey Lance. Jordan Love drafted in 20, and Trey Lance drafted in 21. You know, Brock Purdy is going to make things challenging over there for Lance, because I think they're going to go with best quarterback on the team. So I think it's going to be a legitimate quarterback competition next year. And then, you know, with Jordan Love, how long do you, like, Green Bay is going to have to figure out their strategy of, do we draft another quarterback at some point, or are we going to give Jordan Love another contract and just, you know, play it by ear? I think those two, the future of those two guys is really intriguing to me.
Yeah, fascinating cases, because Jordan Love, in the small picture we saw this year, looked like he had shown dramatic improvement.
Yep.
From that start he had in Kansas City last year. You know, when Rodgers, you know, missed the game for COVID and Love stepped in, it was pretty rough. And then this year, when he played, you know, late in the game, I forget, you know, which game that was, but, you know, he was pretty impressive. And so if he gets sort of to the end of his contract, and, you know, we don't know if they're going to do the fifth-year option. And even if they do, and Rodgers is still around, and even though you've seen it in practice and you saw it for a small snapshot of his career, do you give him that other contract? That would be a fascinating case, and one I don't think we've ever seen before. And then the Trey Lance situation, I think you keep both him and Purdy, and even if Purdy becomes the starter, maybe you make Trey Lance kind of like a Taysom Hill mold, where you know, they got him there for the dynamic play that he has with his legs. Maybe you do packages with both of them,
knowing you have another quarterback on his rookie deal still on the contract. I mean, that would be an embarrassment of riches for San Francisco if Purdy ends up being the real deal and is as consistent as he's shown to be so far. And there's no reason to think a drop-off is coming anytime soon, as impressive as he's been. But there are a couple fascinating situations in those quarterback ones. And I almost want to see Jordan Love, kind of get to that end of the contract and see what they do for a player who has shown a lot of promise, someone they invested in, obviously, and what they do about that contract situation if he is not yet the full-time starter by the time they have to make that decision.
We got Omar Ruiz with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 NFL Network. We haven't seen a story like Brock Purdy since Brady in the sixth round. This is really, really fascinating, isn't it?
Unbelievable is what it is. I mean, you know, yesterday I was looking at a note where, you know, he's had the best sixth career start in the history of the game, except for Kurt Warner. You know, Kurt Warner, you know, by passer rating, had a better six-game start to his career, rookie or otherwise, playoffs or otherwise. And the fact that he's doing it with all the pressure that he has, you know, knowing that was a Super Bowl roster and all the hopes were basically on him and what he can do. And I think maybe the most impressive thing is, you know, yes, everything he's done on the field has been great, keeping plays alive, you know, hitting the guys in stride to allow them those yards after catch. But I think it's the fact that he doesn't let the mistakes compound themselves, which I think we've seen rookies, you know, so often. You know, one interception leads to a second, then they get tight and kind of stop playing. And Purdy hasn't shown that. You know, he's had, you know, the ability to bounce back and kind of remain confident despite, you know, any mistakes he's made, which he has made some, but just never lets affect the game. And obviously they have so many weapons, so much talent around him. I think he can kind of breathe easy, but I think that is who he is. And there's a lot of confidence there, not just for this season, this playoff run, but for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. I think and last one is the Lamar Jackson situation. And this one is a tricky one because I do get the sense that there are some people maybe around football and maybe around Baltimore who question if this is 100% something he can't play through or if this is something that is left over from contract. It's a delicate situation to talk about publicly, but privately, I think it is an interesting dilemma because if he's really hurt, he's really hurt. If he's not, then that raises questions. But more importantly, this has been a team who tried to reach out to him for contract purposes, and he wasn't responsive then when he wanted to get a fully guaranteed contract. The team wasn't responsive to that. Is there any chance that the Ravens consider contacting a team like the Miami Dolphins or like the Chicago Bears and say, you know what, for your draft pick, we will trade you Lamar Jackson for a boatload of picks. And for Chicago, obviously, that would mean the first pick of the draft and Justin Fields. I just think that Lamar Jackson being moved from Baltimore is a very interesting discussion because it completely changes the tone of this year's draft, potentially.
Oh, yeah. I think there's no question about that. And I think, yeah, the Lamar conversation is another fascinating one because, you know, he wants the guaranteed money and understandable. You know, former MVP, when he is right, you know, there are a few weapons in the NFL that are more unstoppable than Lamar Jackson. However, it is the stretch run, it is the playoffs, and he was not available. And we talk about a franchise quarterback and giving all that guaranteed money, you know, the availability is the best ability and all that stuff that you've heard before, and he hasn't been there. And I think when you look at a player like, you know, Phillip Rivers, who had that torn ACL in the 2008 AFC Championship game and kind of plays through that, you kind of have that expectation that every franchise quarterback would do that. And fair or otherwise, you know, if you were to strap on the, you know, the brace and all that and play and just kind of sit in the pocket. Now, that's not Lamar's game. You know, you kind of got to have that threat to run. And if that's not there, then, you know, maybe he's a sitting duck and that's not best for his future either. And I think that was his line of thinking. But as far as what they do with him, if he's all guaranteed and you don't know if you can rely on him, it's not the first time he's been banged up and missed games, you know, with his style of play, then yeah, I could totally see them moving on from Lamar and then just investing, you know, those resources into the rest of the team or a quarterback, like you mentioned, a Justin Fields on a rookie deal or in fact drafting one if, you know, they go to another team like that. But I think that is real, that the divorce, you know, could happen. And another fascinating watch to see a team that might give up a former MVP without getting him a second contract.
That is Omar Ruiz, NFL Network, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. Good conversation, and enjoy your playoff weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Always a pleasure to be with you.
That's it. Thanks, Omar Ruiz right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, news of the weird.
Did you have anything crazy that happened in different countries in Florida?
All
right, let me run down a quick checklist. Did anything happen in Florida?
Yes.
So you may not know. Okay, Florida. Did anyone, was there any kind of weird auctions at a high school?
Weird, no, there were no weird auctions today.
Okay.
At a high school.
Was anyone killed with a substance that we didn't think they would?
No, but there was an explosion we didn't see coming.
Did anyone have something inside their body that they weren't supposed to have?
Yes.
Bingo, bingo!
Oh, absolutely.
I just hit the bingo card.
You did. You hit that. But this one is different than you were thinking.
Okay.
We'll explain.
Is there anyone who is trying to spend money to be something that they are not?
No.
Surgically or otherwise?
No, we don't have that today. But
I'm just going through the news of the weird bingo card. That's all.
Yep. All right. Well, when we come back, we will have those stories and more. But first, we're going to have some tequila.
Tequila is my favorite thing to have. Had a little bit yesterday. I had a little bit of my añejo yesterday. I keep it in my refrigerator. I was, let me watch the safety from Penn State. Let me pour a little añejo out, and I'll put some music on, and I'll just watch tape like that. Now, when I'm writing the prospects up, I'm actually typing them up. I got to focus. So I have to turn my music off. But yesterday, I had a little Leslie Odom. And Leslie Odom Jr., and I had some añejo from Maestro Dobel, and it was a good vibe. Completely, and maybe that's why I gave the kid a high grade. I don't know. I have to be careful because I was in a good mood when I'm drinking Maestro Dobel. I'm sipping it. It's very cold. I have it in my little snifter because I'm fancy. And here's the great thing about Maestro Dobel. Whether you are drinking margaritas, they've got a tequila for you. They've got the silver. They've got smoked silver as well if you want a little smoke in it. Reposado is fantastic. They're Cristalino. They invented the category where they take three different types of tequilas, charcoal filter, age it, and the process creates something that is just magical. There's so many tequilas to choose from with so many different flavor profiles that you're going to find the right one for you, whether you're drinking them in a margarita or a cocktail, or you are sipping tequila like I have begun to do, because I never knew a tequila could be this smooth at a very reasonable price. So make sure that you're up on Maestro Dobel, wherever fine liquors are sold at your local liquor store or restaurant. It's Maestro Dobel.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. One thing you didn't ask before the break, by the way, News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats, better prices, no fees. It's that simple. One thing you didn't ask is there a mud wizard involved in our News of the Weird today?
I didn't. That was not a... I'll be honest with you. I've said a lot of words over the years. I've put a lot of words together in thought, in writing, in print. I've never put the phrase mud wizard before.
Mud wizard is... In Germany, police were trying to stop protesters, but there was like thick mud, and this guy in a wizard outfit kept pushing the cops down in the mud. So he's been labeled the mud wizard. And the cops, it was like the Keystone Cops. They just kept falling all over the place.
Let me ask you, is it easy to move in mud?
No.
Okay, so if I found a defensive lineman who was really good at clogging the run lanes, I might call him a mud wizard.
Mud wizard, yeah.
Because he makes it hard for you to move.
Right, right.
Makes it hard for you to get out of there. I may turn that into a draft phrase, a mud wizard.
Mud wizard.
This guy's a true mud wizard at the point of attack.
You asked about something in someone's body.
Yep. I usually don't like asking about that, but I did.
An unexploded grenade was successfully removed from a soldier's chest. Did you see that one?
I did see that one.
He had a grenade lodged in his chest.
And it was one that could go off.
Yeah. And doctors were able to dislodge it.
How'd that happen?
I read the story and I still don't get it. The explosive was fired from a grenade launcher attached to an assault rifle during a battle in Bakhmut, a city in Ukraine's eastern Donetsk province. And somehow it got lodged in his chest. That in itself would have killed me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'd have died.
Right? I mean, that is just unbelievable. And you asked if we had any other. We had an explosion. Apparently, a woman got so drunk at a concert, a Marilyn Manson concert, she drove home and hit a house. The house exploded and destroyed three other houses. Four total houses,
so
causing
that house
over 10.
Must have had a gas leak going or something.
Or she hit a gas line. I don't know. She hit a gas line or something.
Maybe she hit it with her lighter out and then busted the gas line and immediately
exploded. So you know what she's doing?
What?
Suing the concert venue. Because they got her so drunk.
Yeah.
That she caused over $10 million.
She was minding her own business, sitting there trying to watch Marilyn Manson, and they kept bringing her drinks and putting it in a funnel and making her drink it.
Well, I don't know about a funnel.
You know what? I'm super mad that when I went to the Jason Isbell concert, that they gave me too many drinks, too, and made me get sick and throw up on my car, outside of my car, like I was in high school or something. I had to roll down the window, and my wife made me throw up while she was driving.
She didn't
God,
stop.
That concert venue, what a bunch of jerks.
She didn't stop while you were...
Well, I stopped at another time. Oh, I was just... She would have had to stop in the middle of wherever...
Huh.
She would have had to stop in the middle of 59 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was just like, no.
Well, out
you'll
the window
just have to clean this
out
tomorrow.
Out the window at 60 miles an hour?
Well, out the window and down the window.
Right,
and really,
right,
frankly,
right.
The next morning when I saw it, I was like, yeah, but it wasn't my fault. I mean,
it was a concert venue.
The concert venue kept giving me those big old tall cans, and it was like, hey, stop.
Stop doing that. Hey, so speaking of alcohol, apparently Bailey's. Experts are warning people not to pour Irish cream liqueurs like Bailey's in Ballycastle down the drain after Christmas because it could cause serious problems to your pipes. Do you feel like you should be, if something that
what
is...
What does Bailey's could, have in it?
Bailey's has, apparently, well, the cream in it is no good for your pipes, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Like Bailey's, which has a cream content, could add to problems.
Good for coffee.
No one likes a nasty surprise over the festive season and a blocked drain. And maybe it'll block your drains. So
aqueduct.
What did you do?
I was just pouring gallons of Bailey down my thing.
But do you feel like you should drink something that's going to cause real problems for your water pipes?
Well, if you eat a bunch of cheese, what's going to happen to your pipes?
You get stopped up.
Stop you from eating cheese?
Bananas and cheese.
Yeah, bananas are that guy too.
Yeah.
And they don't have boo-boo juice on the market anymore.
There's no boo-boo juice?
Magnesium citrate? No.
Why? People are making it. Somehow people are getting high.
No, they had it. You just heard citrate. You're like, I don't know.
Somebody's getting high.
They're making meth with it.
Somebody.
No,
yes.
I don't know what it was, but that stuff will make you go. But no, you just need Miralax. Just a bunch of Miralax and a Gatorade, you're good.
Speaking of meth, another Colorado library had to close because of the meth levels in the bathrooms at the library. So congratulations.
Colorado, for being as pretty and nice as it is, they've got some real losers there, too. Like, they've got some issues over there, too.
They like
there's
their drugs
pockets,
in Colorado,
yeah, there's
though.
Some pockets of people who maybe aren't the most disciplined.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they need Tim Brewster.
Maybe they have Tim Brewster.
Maybe that's why they got him.
Maybe that's why they brought Tim Brewster. All right, stand up! Or what does he say?
I don't know.
The deck or whatever
no,
he says.
It's something about standing.
On your feet? Something like that.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's over for today.
Meth heads don't listen to direction
at all. No, they don't listen. Hopefully none of the Colorado football players.
I promise you, Deion is never going to sign meth heads.
No. But he might want a new patio.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with meth. But I know Steven.
Can you smoke meth on your patio?
No, you could. You could. I mean, yeah, it's illegal. Having a patio is not illegal. As a matter of fact, I'm having a meeting with Steven and his marketing company. We're talking about the videos they're going to shoot of my patio as they do the install of the new kitchen. And I wish I would have had the kitchen done At the same time, I have my patio built, because which would have been so much better. And this is the thing I would tell you. Dream of whatever you want to dream of for your outdoor living space. Is it a fire pit, an outdoor kitchen? Do you want multiple televisions, an awesome sound system? Whatever you can dream of, they can build for you. And that includes swimming pool, pool house. And they can work with you on financing, and you can get the outdoor of your dreams. And that's what they're doing at Texas Custom Patios. And the great thing is, you know, once you have that, it adds value to your home, but really it adds value to your way of life and your quality of life. So Texas Custom Patios is here for you when you're ready to make that decision. Don't say I didn't warn you. When you get there and you look at the site and you go, wow, this is incredible. TexasCustomPatios.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.